Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to the podcast. It's Ben Morgan here with Andy Traub.
Hello, friends.
Also known as, your alias is Randy Straub.
Randy Straub. Don't always pronounce my words so well, so I get called Randy sometimes.
So we've decided that's
true. And I just go with it. You have to have people call you the wrong name because your name is Sten, so you probably get Stan a lot. Do you just roll with it?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, because how do you
it's
go?
Close enough.
How do you go, Sten? It's got to be awkward, right?
I just roll with it.
I just roll with the Randy, too. So if you guys ever meet me...
Yeah, yours just turned into like a character, though, which I appreciate. Like, it's this person we talk about.
He's another person. Yes. Well, there you go. So I do want to say, just to start off, we have had a lot of great listeners reach out to us. People come to our event in the last 3 weeks, just communicate how much they enjoy the podcast. And I know people listen to the podcast. You know people listen to the podcast. But it's just so encouraging to hear people go, I listen every week and I listened yesterday and this is what he said. So I'm grateful that this is helping people and I'm grateful for this episode because we're going to revisit something we haven't talked about in 3 years, that really should be revisited every year. And I'm excited to hear what you have to say about it.
Surge is, a meeting style that I've seen in the industry in a lot of different ways. I was first exposed to the idea of like, time blocking, not in the context of like a day. I don't think there's really anybody that can argue. Maybe somebody would try. Generally speaking, that if you focus on a certain task at a certain point in time, you're probably more efficient and effective than if you try to do 10 things at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was at a conference, this was maybe 13 years ago. I was a young advisor and an experienced advisor who had the practice that all of us wanted. You know, he was making millions of bucks a year, had a team, the whole deal. He said he structured his business that it was on 3 month rotating blocks. He would spend a month meeting with clients. He would spend a month prospecting and then he would take a month off. And at the time that was like, I've never heard of this before. Like, this is wild. And I guess maybe this is something you could do when you're 30 years in the business and you kind of earn your way into it. Yeah. But it was my first experience with what if you did solely focus on a certain task for a period of time, what could come of that? And then going through the industry and, you know, my buddy, Matt Jarvis, you know, I like his title better than anybody else's. And it's easy to say, and I use it with my team. It's like, we will surge for this period of time in serving our clients well. I am now in the camp that it's probably the only way to do it. If you want to grow, if you want to time block from a macro business perspective, not just like, what am I doing in the morning versus the afternoon versus what am I doing this month and focusing on so I can build a system around it. I can rally my team around it and we can be the most effective with it. To me, I don't want to debate surge as much. And I think that'll probably be an ongoing conversation with some people. I do believe, and we'll talk about it today, that the data supports some version of it is a more efficient way to run your practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As advisors that we talk to in our community that we coach, once they do it, even when they are super overwhelmed the first time they do it, is they recognize, I shouldn't have done this. I'm going to do this next time. But they're more excited about the second version even than the first version because they're like, man, I got a taste of what this could be. Because the real power and beauty of surge happens after surge when you're like, what is this white space in my life, in my brain, and with your clients and their expectations being met? That's where the beauty of surge is.
Yeah. And we'll talk later how surge can go wrong. And most of the time when I've talked to people and they're like, it's not working, you know, it's breaking down, I don't know if it's great for my clients, it's because they haven't iterated it or fully internalized it with their company. But when it comes to time blocking, a stat I found is that, you know, this is the American Psychological Association, multitasking leads to a significant decrease in productivity, with some research indicating up to 40% when you switch between tasks. So for me, that's helpful, my analytical mind to say, okay, this isn't just like my opinion or somebody else's opinion. Like, it is fact that switching between things, while it could work, is maybe not the best way to do it. And that brings me back to when I was a young advisor, a theme I found was I started looking at what everyone was doing and started saying, okay, maybe that's an indication of not to do that thing.
Mm.
And when we think about like, what does an average advisor do? Average doesn't always, it doesn't mean bad. I don't think many people want to be average. And if somebody says, hey, you're average, that could be taken in a negative way. To us, average is just like, what are most people doing? Because sometimes those people end up getting decent results. The average advisor is just doing a bunch of stuff all the time. I'm going to meet with clients when they need to meet. I'm going to work on my marketing material and prospecting every day. Like, I'm doing all things at all times. And I was observing as a younger advisor, none of those advisors were running businesses or creating the lifestyle that I wanted to have.
Yeah.
So I had to question everything they were doing at that point.
Another element of when you're doing a lot of different things at different times, what the double whammy there is, you're number one, you're not as productive because you're switching from task to task. That's just scientifically true. Secondarily, most people are worried about the things they're not doing while they're doing something else. So if you had one through four things you had to do, when you're doing one, you're like, I should do two and three and four. And you switch to three and you go, man, I should be doing one and two and four. Because you haven't told yourself, hey, you know what? We're just going to do one for a while and two and three and four are going to be okay. And then we're going to do two for a while and one and three and four are going to, like, it's setting your brain into a different setting, which is, I want to go really deep into this one thing and then I'm going to let the other things go for a while. And that's okay. It's actually not just okay. It's better.
Yeah.
But I would submit that our society, technology, so many things are creating this fractional attention span, mm-hmm. right? It's fraction. So I would just say, as business owners, this is something you have to be very, very intentional about. So, Sen, when you started to do this, mm-hmm. what was the first few steps of you saying, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to actually try to do this? What do you have to do first?
There was this thought that I had to get over that somehow my clients were going to have a strong opinion about this, until I realized none of them know what I'm doing. You know, like before, when I was meeting with everyone all the time, each client didn't know.
Right.
I knew, but you're allowed to change this stuff. And most likely your client's going to be okay. I'm learning in my business now, and this is true of financial planning when we coach advisors on what's your deliverable, like what are you giving to somebody? And I think at times we can give people too much and it doesn't help them. There's like a point of diminishing return. Like if you had a monthly meeting with a financial planning client, they probably don't need that. Unless it's a complicated situation and they're paying you a bunch of money and there's so much work to be done. What we find with advisors is they could probably deliver the same quality product with half of the time and the consumer is thankful for it. Because we got the same result, or essentially the same result, without needing more of me. I didn't have to come to your office more. I didn't have to have more calls. And so if we can deliver something more effectively and efficiently, I think we should always be open-minded to that. So I had to say, okay, I'm going to start building this thing, knowing that it's better for me and my clients long-term, recognizing there's probably going to be some kind of learning curve or adoption to that. And what I had to decide as a business owner was, I'm now going to tell my clients there are two times a year we're going to meet. And it's for your benefit. We're going to meet in March before tax time, because it's a very practical time to do it. And we're also going to meet in October before open enrollment or year-end tax planning. And they said, okay, sounds great. And so once I got over my head trash and just tried it, I then had to deal with, what is a system? And we're going to talk about this. And we have a guide that you guys can download that's kind of a process for it. I had to first say, what am I going to do in Surge now to do it well? What's the new structure? What's the deliverables? And then I had to be faced with like the extra time available, which typically with the business owners we work with and advisors, like our instinct is to fill time with busyness and not the best thing. So then I had to get really good at saying, okay, now that I've finished Surge and I have maybe 3 to 4 months before any meaningful client touch points need to happen, and you're still fielding random questions, what am I going to do with that time to help my business a lot?
You know, we are addicted to busy, right? We are addicted to tasks that we know we can do, because that's where our confidence comes. And where our confidence gets hurt is when we go and we're pushing to something that we're not sure is going to work. We're not completely sure of the path that we have to go on to complete it. We're not sure of the outcome. And so we do find ourselves, you know, and just all, everyone who's in work generally, we are creatures of comfort. And the surge really does. It is a period of discomfort for you and the staff, followed by another period of discomfort, but it's a different kind, which is you have space. You have room to think and to plan. And all those things that, you know, I should be doing or I will do someday, suddenly you can do them.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, this is taking a longer vacation. For some people, it is more self-education. They're going to go read books. They're going to go to conferences. So, you know, I hope that everyone listening to this has a great surge, downloads the guide. It's going to be in the show notes. It's a 5-page, maybe 6-page guide. And that you have a great, great surge in March. And then you come hang out with us in April for How to Charge Live, because you're going to have time.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people stand this kind of go like, am I really going to have time? Because I'm busy every day.
Huh.
So let me ask you on a really practical level, you do a lot in surges, and we'll go through what it looks like and how much time you give to different people.
Mm-hmm.
But you really believe that for the first, second, third year advisor who's doing this, along with the 35th year advisor, that they're going to have space after surge where they're just clear.
Yeah. Surge is the reason I incorporated financial planning in my business. Surge is the reason I get to spend a lot of time with my kids.
You do.
Surge is the reason EAN exists, that me and you had the time to even kind of dream this up and then follow.
Well, I had all kinds of time, but yeah, you were busy. You were busy.
Nothing.
I mean, I had a different job.
Time,
yeah. No, yeah. No, you're right.
It's more complicated than that, but I think the core of it is because I structured my schedule in a way that still overserved my clients. We don't lose many clients. People love what we do, but I'm not overserving them without them asking for it at my own detriment.
Yeah.
And imagine now if, as an advisor, you went through surge and you knew, you had the peace of mind that every one of my clients has been touched and they're happy and they have a game plan. There's going to be kind of an influx of service items for a little bit, which you prep your team for. And you know, it'll feel different for a little bit, more intense than you're used to. But then imagine the next month you spent focusing solely on prospecting, that you then had to battle with the white space of like, I get to now come up with a new system that's actually going to work and get the system, get the results I want, versus always being slightly distracted and trying to tweak it as I go.
Right.
And so as you listen to this now, if there's, you know, there's a group of people listening that are like, I get it, I'm all in, I'm already doing it. There's a group that are like, I believe you, I'm just trying to do it. And there's probably a group that are, you know, I don't need to make a change. What I'm doing now is working just fine. If you can change something in your business that's going to help you help more people, make more income, and spend less time doing it, the people we love to hang out with are the ones like, I'm open for that.
Yeah.
And it may not be that you are the one to do this. It may be somebody on your team that's responsible for the operations department helps you build it. But as we unpack the podcast today, my hope is it gives you some really practical steps that hopefully overcome some of the head trash of like, it feels like I'm going from 0 to 100, going from waiting for people to call me and kind of serving them passively when they ask for it versus, no, I'm going to lean in. I'm going to tell them when we're meeting and I'm going to be in control of my schedule. It will feel different, but it's a good feeling.
So let's go into the practical nature of this, because this is really one of those teachings that you can implement. Like if you're listening to this on a Friday when we release most episodes, that Monday you could go in and you could put this in front of the team and say, hey, we're not going to do this today, but we're going to talk about it today.
Nice. Yeah. Preface right? That. Yeah. Don't freak them out.
Today, everything's different. Here's a guide, and then you can add to the guide. But this is a guide born out of a decade of experience and pulling wisdom from other people that you can begin to implement. And the first step, which is something that we do with all of our coaching clients as well, is you have to segment your book. And I'm just going to begin by saying this, and then Sten's going to speak for most of the rest of the episode, is that the goal of segmenting your book of business is the same reason they sell different seats at a sporting event or a concert. Is like, everybody should have a seat, everyone should fit, but not everyone's going to get the exact same experience. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And I love this example because I've seen it happen. The girl at the top row of the stadium at the Taylor Swift concert had the best time of her life. And the girl in the front row had the best time of her life. Different seats, different experiences, but still felt served, right? That is the beginning of this, is you have to segment it. So I'm just going to ask you to kind of start this and just run with it.
Sure.
But the first thing is to segment your book of business so that you can give people a great experience, but a different experience. So walk us through that.
So we believe that every advisor should segment their book of business. This is one of those things. It's almost like the estate planning attorney that doesn't have a will. Most advisors are business owners that don't have any intention around why they're serving certain people, how much time they're giving. And so the advisors we coach were like, let's segment your book of business. Initially, that's for profitability. It's where's most of your revenue coming from, and some different business conversations like that. Segmenting your book in the context of surge is you're going to go through and you're going to decide which people need an in-person meeting, which person need a Zoom meeting. Are there any clients that you need to drive to? Hopefully that's a lower number. And then are these 45-minute meetings, which could run over, you know, hopefully not fully an hour, or are these more of like 20 to 30-minute meetings? Once you segment your book of business like that, you can then create a system. You know, we use kind of some email templates to send out mass emails. We use Calendly as a link. And so I go ahead and I block my schedule out at certain times, and my team will start just filling people in. But I gave them a framework to operate within that says, here, these people only need 20-minute meetings.
Yeah.
Because I have some clients that are awesome clients. I love them. I've had them for 10 plus years. They have one large IRA account that they rolled over from their business, and they're drawing Social Security. Their expenses are pretty static. We catch up on life. It would not be me doing a favor to them to have an hour meeting.
Right. So what are we going to do for the other 45 minutes there, Bob and Linda? You know, like.
And I have a few clients come to mind that I extend. Thank you. We trust you. I'll give them an update on performance. We'll talk about any upcoming expenses. But I have to stretch the meeting to 10 minutes for them to be like, we know you're there and we're really thankful for you.
Yeah.
And so I think there's some structure. I want to bring them more than they're expecting. I want them to feel like, wow, you prepared for this.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't make that meeting longer than 20 minutes if I tried. So I shouldn't schedule an hour. You have to know going through there what client is what. Your biggest client may not need the most time.
Yeah.
And so that is a helpful exercise. If you haven't done surge, you've tried it and maybe hasn't gone as well, do the exercise of going through. And I just have my team pull an Excel spreadsheet, and I have a column there where I just start filling in 45-minute in-person, 30-minute Zoom. Zooms typically can go faster than in-person. There's less kind of small talk.
Yeah.
So figure that out, but try not to do anything over an hour. I've learned firsthand, most people do not have an attention span that long. So if you have more to cover in a meeting than you can do in an hour effectively, focus on what's most important for them to do now and then schedule another meeting later. So Calendly is a big help. We do have a little nuance in here that we always call meeting strategy meetings. So coach your team up on this. Hey, here's the Calendly. Here's the dates I'm available. Here's the list of clients and what I need you to schedule. But make sure they're titling those meetings as strategy meetings, because that's just language we use in our practice all the time.
Right. And again, the strategy, whether you call it strategy session, strategy meeting, the keyword there is strategy, which is we're going to be looking forward. What are we doing? And it may be, hey, we're going to look forward. We're not going to make any changes, but we are looking forward, right? So this is part of a forward-looking, because people don't want to go, hey, let's get together and talk about the past. I mean, there's a time for that, but, you know, that's coffee with friends. That's not with your financial planner.
There's something interesting that Andy put together for us.
Oh.
When it comes to blocking your schedule, so sometimes people think it's going to be too much, or I can't fit it in a reasonable period of time. So listen to this. We have three scenarios for you. The first scenario is, let's imagine you do what we just talked about, which is segmenting your book of business. And of 80 households, let's assume you have 100, but not all of them respond or have to meet every surge. Let's just say you have 80 households to meet with, which is essentially what Legacy has. Let's assume half of them need a full service, which is a full hour. That's a lot. Typically, it may not be that many clients. Let's assume 20 of them need 30 minutes, and then another 20 clients are more quick service, like 20 minutes. So that's 80 households. With that math of time, you could cover those fully, assuming you only work 6 hours a day, and you give yourself 15-minute breaks in between those meetings in 3.5 weeks. So you touched your whole book of business in under 4 weeks. And you do that maybe twice a year?
I did my math wrong there. It's actually 2.5.
2.5 weeks?
14. You're right. 3.5. Because you're only, here's the other thing. Here's the parameters of this. You get 15-minute breaks in between.
Mm-hmm.
Second is you're only working 4-day weeks.
Yeah, Monday.
Like, that's something else is Monday you're prepping, right? And so you're only working 4-day weeks. You're only working 6-hour days. So 4-day weeks, 6-hour days, and you can serve 80 clients. And how long was it then?
Three and a half weeks.
3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And what we did is, and I asked Sten, because, you know, obviously he's the one with the active practice, is if you have 100 clients, how many do you really think you're going to be able to meet with? You can probably get 80. right? Probably get 80. So you, this is, if you have a book of business with 100 people and you wanted to meet with 80 of them, again, half, you get the full 45 minutes to an hour. You still get 50 minutes in between. Stan will talk about why you need that.
Yep.
You know, some of them, you get 30 minutes, some you get 20 minutes. You can do that in 3 minutes. That's 1 month. You can meet with 80% of your clients and make sure they feel really, really well served.
And then scenario B, we said, okay, what if half of them needed 60 minutes? So we're giving even more time. If anybody's listening, we're like, hey, I don't know if 20 minutes is enough for my clients. I want to give them more. Okay. 50 of the 80 get 60 minutes, and then 30 get the 30 minutes, and nobody gets the 20 minutes.
Right.
Now we're at 3.75% weeks.
Yep.
Finally, what if we gave all 80 clients a full hour? We're still under 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And there's levers you can pull here. You know, like there's been times where we've been down a paraplanner. And so I stretch Surge out a week and I make, you know, I'm like, hey, I want to make sure I don't start until 9 because I'm taking my kids to school. I want to make sure I'm done by 4 so I can get home and make dinner. Like whatever the things are, the parameters you want to, if your Surge turns from 4 to 6 because you want to be just kinder to yourself and you want to stretch out for your team.
Yeah.
That's 4.5 weeks is still way better than constantly meeting with people all the time.
Yeah.
In my opinion, because then now you have 9 to 10 months available to be a business owner. To study so you can bring new ideas to your clients, to develop team members so you can help more people, to take time off, which most people would say, I'd want to spend more time with my kids and family, to prospect more efficiently. So by the time you get to next surge, you have more ideal clients to serve. You will not achieve the practice you want if you are busy all the time. And we meet with very busy advisors, and then you ask the metrics about how much AUM they have, what they're accomplishing, what's their revenue. And I can sense the frustration then when it's like, we have advisors that have 10 times the revenue and work less than you. And I've been on the other side of that where I'm just dumbfounded at like, just tell me how. Like, are you smarter than me? Or are you just better than me? Like, or is there something I just have not yet to unlock and apply?
And again, I want to encourage folks who are listening. This is something that as we go through this, you can implement imperfectly. Your version one of this is still going to be better than whatever you're doing. It just is.
It may not feel that way initially because anything that's new feels different. And there's your body's going to want to just go back to what it was. So fight that. But very quickly, you'll realize there's a lot of benefits to this.
I also think that there's real tremendous power in, you know, I heard this. It was actually at an event that Dave Tuhill had hosted. Is this a fascinating copywriter guy who's sort of this old sage and he could figure very quickly. He stopped caring what people thought of a long time ago. He was just very, very blunt. But he said, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So you can practice the wrong thing and then you'll get really good at the wrong thing. Practice does not make perfect. But I think about you who are listening, if you're like, man, I really wish I was better at whiteboarding. You would whiteboard in almost every single one of those meetings to some degree. So talk about getting feedback. Talk about getting better at something. Mm-hmm. Talk about getting better at just running a meeting efficiently and effectively and asking the right questions. And, you know, like that is where you're going to get really, really powerful is because you're going to do it in such a condensed period of time. You're going to be able to change something that you're going to go. Your first meeting of the day was like, that was okay. But the last meeting of the day on day three, you're just going to be like, you're going to be amazing. You're just going to be in your zone. You're going to be locked in. But there are certain things you have to do during surge, sort of stay locked in. I know we're going to talk about those as well.
Yeah, I thought of a question I got from an advisor. Do you need to have a team to do surge? And I want to hold space for like surge. There's a version of surge that's probably requires a team from a paraplanner to prep to an admin person follow up on service. But I do think there's a version of surge that still works if you were listening and you're like, it's just me. You probably are the one that has to write the templated emails. You're the one that has to go into Calendly and block off your schedule. You're sure. The one. So it may not be as efficient versus, you know, well-oiled machine where each person on the team is doing exactly their one thing and you can really crank surge out. But what's great about that is that if you experience it from start to finish, let's say you do your surge and you're a solo advisor and it takes you 8 weeks to get through it, what you will learn through that process that you will eventually teach a future team member is invaluable.
Yeah.
So whatever kind of head trash is hanging out that might stop you from going down this path, and know that there's iterations and versions of this.
Yeah.
The idea of surge is, can you agree with us that if I focus on serving my people in a specific period of time, I'm probably going to create some better templates so those meetings are more organized. my team is going to be able to focus on certain tasks and get really quick and better at them in that period of time. Then we're on the same page. From there, it's you deciding where do I start? What's my first version? Knowing version one is not going to be as good as version 10, but we're just going to take a step. We're going to get started in some way. So we're going to start walking through some really practical things as you're listening, and you can download this guide. Then my hope is that if there's anything part of you where it's like, I understand this part and this part, but this one's I'm stuck on, so I'm just not going to do it, that we can give you a push, a jump start on each category of search. So we talked about scheduling, which is segmenting your book business, using Calendly to get that stuff. Like that, you can dial in pretty quick. The next one is actual meeting prep. I have found that if I wait till a couple of days before my first surge meeting to sit with my team and start going through client files, we start feeling rushed. So an adjustment I've made is that like a month before surge, I set time aside on my calendar to pull each client's information. I might do 5 at a time. And I just reorient myself to that client situation. I'm like, oh yeah, they had this thing, or oh yeah, they were selling their house. And then I create like a quick, short little guide of like, these are the things most important to this client. So by the time I get to the point where I'm like 2 days out from the meeting, we're really just running updated performance numbers. We've already found out if they funded their IRAs or need to fund their IRAs, that the high level awareness and planning, we did that a while ago. So we're not feeling rushed at the last minute. So consider that start pulling your clients' files and getting acquainted with their situation like a month ahead of search. Using Mondays as a prep day, I've had a couple of surges where I'm like Monday to Friday, baby, 9 to 4, game on, open my door, crack my door, don't come into my office, but hand me Chipotle through the door and I'll take a 10-minute lunch and like, let's game on. Those were intense days. They felt super productive, but I realized that was probably surging a little too hard. So I've adjusted surge to be a little more tolerable for me and the team. And a good step for doing that is if you can just free your Monday up and say, I have Monday to look at my week, prep, get with my team. That's made a big difference.
But probably I would assume as well, you know, let's just say it's week 2, you know, week 1, there's probably enough service work that maybe needs some clarification, or you know, I can imagine staff coming, or you just, you know, if you're a solo advisor, you have these 15-minute increments between meetings, and you're probably not going to go back to back. Yeah. 6 hours a day, 4 days a week. But there may be several days where there's like, well, that's just a lot. Mm-hmm. Having a day to breathe, and again, because we want healthy boundaries, you know, hopefully not working too much on Saturday or Sunday, but having a day to breathe, having a day to check the email, having a day to maybe move some appointments around because things have changed, mm-hmm. you know, give yourself room, especially the first time, give yourself room. To breathe in that, and allow your staff to breathe. Yeah. I think that's really wise. So Monday is off.
And part of that the scheduling as you go is you may look at a day and realize that somebody booked a 45-minute meeting at 9 and then another one at 11 and another one at 2. And what I realize is that I then look at my calendar and I reach out to those people and I try to move them, because ideally I'd like to closer together. So if I have these random 40-minute gaps, I'm like, well, I can do my notes then, but it's really not enough time to get into anything else. If I can reorganize as I go to try to bunch those in a healthy way, you'll hopefully set all your meetings and you'll kind of keep setting people as you go. But if somebody on your team or you can be aware of, hey, Thursday, it's Tuesday, I'm going to send a couple emails and say, hey, you know, Jim, can you move from 3 to 1?
Yep.
They may say no, but a lot of times they can move.
Yeah.
And that could help. You know, bunch your schedule a little bit better.
Also, give yourself some grace and some patience that this is a new muscle. Well, it's a muscle, but you're not used to using this muscle in the same way. Like, you're not used to this intensity of meeting. And so while you go, oh, I know how to do meetings, I know how to have strategy sessions, back to back for weeks at a time, it you do need to give yourself space to recharge.
Yep. The meeting prep, something we've tried to dial in, is what does my team know I need for each meeting? So we like to have a balance sheet made up for each client. We can update some of that information if we have their accounts, but I know in the meeting I'm going to be updating and editing it as I go. We also then have an agenda of some kind. And then I also have a note sheet, which is like the takeaway for the team. So whether you do that digitally or you have it printed out, as soon as your team is coached well to say, for each meeting, pull X, Y, and Z, This becomes pretty efficient pretty quickly. What I do encourage you to do is look at that information before you walk into a meeting. there's been some times where I walked in a meeting and I looked down and I was like, this isn't the right client, or we missed something. And the team is trying their best, but I have to put eyes on things. At the end of the day, it falls on me. And that might be 1 out of 10 was missing something nuanced. Try not to do things last minute, because you'll just feel this sense of anxiousness as you're going to meetings, and then you'll feel behind. The hope is, as you walk into a meeting with clarity on the three things you're going to talk about, hopefully you've even prepared some whiteboard strategies that are relevant to that client. The preparation is going to make this feel more fun. Like, you will enjoy this at some point if you can prepare well for it. Then we'll jump to like service. What do you do with that? So as an advisor, hopefully we are prepared for our meeting. Our team knows what to give us so we can be well-prepared and confident in the meeting. We're preparing whiteboarding so we can give our clients a great experience. What's going to happen from surge is an influx of service. In the past, if you've spread your meetings out through the whole year, your team was used to just kind of getting maybe a decent flow of requests, address changes, or usually when you meet with people, they decide to give you money or take money out. With surge, there's some expectation setting that we have a surge kickoff meeting as a team. And we're like, guys, it's Super Bowl. Like, it's about to go down. Are we ready? Anybody have any questions? Break. And then we all get to work and kind of ban around it. And at the end, we can celebrate and, you know, we all go out and do something fun. But your service team needs to know, how are you going to track that stuff? There was a version of a practice when I entered the business that yellow pads were passed around and everything was paper files. And if you lost a file and you're like, where did it go? Or a notepad and you lost all your notes, I'd never liked that feeling. So we use Trello as not our CRM, but as our workflow management for tasks for clients. And so every task from a meeting immediately hits the Trello board, and then our service team can manage it from there to make sure it's all followed up on. Use technology. Again, Calendly can help with the scheduling. Trello or some kind of workflow project management system can help with the service items. I use Otter between my meetings to take notes, as opposed to me trying to type emails and send it to my team. And then those transcribe and they just get emailed to my team and they put them into our Salesforce. You will find opportunities for efficiency as you're getting into it. And if at all costs, all you have to do is just stretch surge out a little bit. If you need a little bit room to breathe, feel free to do that for yourself. And then the one thing I've learned in hindsight is there's times where I got so caught up in the flow that I didn't pause to make clear notes that were going to help me on the next surge. So set yourself up for success so that by the time surge comes around, version 2, version 3, every time you're helping your future self experience that process even smoother.
And never assume that you're going to remember something. Never. Just write it down.
That's good.
Just never. Like, treat it like every dream you've ever had when you woke up and you go, I'll remember that later. And then like 30 minutes later, you're like, what was that dream? It's like there's some scientific fact about you can't remember dreams if you don't write them down the first like 10 seconds. Hmm. Like, but dreams you can forget. Like, they want to make a change. They're going to, like, that's important. Write it down. So again, just have a rhythm that you're going to go, oh, obviously I would never forget that. Don't say that. You will forget it. So have a system to write it down. To do it over voice where it's transcribed and added to a specific file. Just assume that there's going to be way more information than any one person or system could ever hold. And so just be systematic about it.
That's good. All right, let's wrap up. And again, the guide you can download goes into more detail into these categories. But I want to talk kind of finalize, where can surge go wrong? And typically when I talk to advisors and surge didn't go well, it's not because the idea of surge is no longer true. It's some part of their system broke down. They approached it the wrong way. And it's every time I've talked to advisors, it's fixable with some adjustment.
Yeah.
So the first one we came up with is this, don't over deliver. And as we were talking about this one, I mean, your thoughts on if somebody orders a scoop of ice cream, you're not necessarily doing them a favor if you give them 10 scoops.
Right. Yeah. Or you know, you give someone, they order something and you give them a plate that's 5 times too big for the meal. They're like, what is this disproportionate thing here? Right. Or how about this one? I love this. You ever had a waiter or waitress and they come to your table too often?
Mm,
and you're like, bro,
that's a great one. That one,
appreciate you. Appreciate, I appreciate you. Go away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like you're doing, there is such thing as too good of a job.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm here to meet with Stan, not meet with you, the waiter. You know what I mean? And it is, it's actually an over service. It's like, do your job and then move on. Because you know, you're not the main showcase here. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's not a mean thing, but it's just like to say to the clients are like, listen, if working with you as an advisor meant I had to meet with you every 2 weeks, I'd be like, why? And if you don't have a great answer for that, other than like, I like to talk to people, like, nope, sorry, you know? So over deliver means when you have the same length of appointment with people, all your people, that's over delivering. Meeting, there's times when you can meet with them once a year face to face, and then the other meeting could be a phone meeting. But you will get, first and foremost, overwhelmed. And you have a much harder time tracking if you treat everyone the same. That's the concert ticket thing where it's like, not everybody can be in the front row, right? Not everybody should be in the back row, but just give them a great service. But do not do too much. And I would say that 95% of the time, the people we coach or come to our live events, they're doing too much.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I look back to when I used to think as an advisor, I had to drive to people because that was maybe a selling point of mine was like, hey, you're only free Saturday at 10 a.m. I'm coming. Another advisor could. And I had to do that for a while to get business. But at some point, we're professionals and clients can find a day to set some time aside to meet with you on Zoom or come to your office.
Yeah.
If that means you are in my space where I have the data I need, like I could serve you better here than I can in your living room. You will have to be open-minded to even asking your clients, if you have some head trash, what is your preference on how often we meet? I think you'll be surprised by the answer. Similar to when during COVID, I surveyed our clients and I said, do you prefer in-person or Zoom? I was like, I just have to know. And it was mostly Zoom. That was freeing in a way. I'm like, oh yeah, we don't have to get dressed up to come to your office. People got more comfortable with Zoom. There's still some clients that I haven't seen in person for a couple of years that eventually I'll be like, hey, it'd be great if you came to the office, or, you know, maybe I'll come to you and we can get lunch or something like that. But don't give them what they're not asking for.
Yeah. I love that. So it can break down if you do too much. It also breaks down if you're just not organized, right? If you're not thinking ahead, again, start thinking a month out. I don't think you can be over-prepared. You can only be under-prepared. You don't want to find out there's something wrong. Like, I meet with him tomorrow and I don't have this piece of information. It's going to look like if they set the meeting 3 weeks ago and you're meeting with them tomorrow and you're like, hey, can I have this piece of, like, why didn't you ask me 3 weeks ago when we sent the meeting? Right. So
I think anything like a good offense in football or anything, it's like the game plan is what makes it look easy and smooth. And that just requires preparation behind the scenes.
What about your team? How do you prepare them for, hey, we're going to we should, you know, God willing, have a lot of work to do here.
This has been interesting for our firm in the way that like surge revealed some people that didn't have a very big capacity.
Yeah.
And so to one extent, I had to give them some space to make an adjustment for it. In another though, if this is truly who we are, which we serve people this way because we know it actually helps them and helps us serve more people.
Yeah.
I need people that can handle surge.
Yeah.
And part of handling surge is communication. Meaning if somebody's like, hey, I'm getting overwhelmed, I need help developing a new system. Part of that is where Trello came from. Part of that is where we color code our service items. Because I've had some folks in the past that every time something came in, it was urgent and on fire. And I'm like, that is a beneficiary update. And, you know, while important, it can be done this afternoon.
They're in their 30s, not 95. You know, they're probably.
You don't need to stop everything you're doing to do that now. Just put it on your calendar for 2:00. Like some things can be done at different times. Other things have to be done during market hours. And so there's definitely going to be some coaching for your team. But if you set great expectations up front, hey, team, here's what we're about to get into. Does anybody have questions? Here's what I need from you. Here's what I need from you. Here's what I need from you. And as we go, let's keep really good communication. And you're still meeting with your team on Monday, if that's when you do it. That's when we do it. And remember, your Mondays is your kind of your planning day. And so hopefully you're resetting and encouraging your team every week through surge. If you don't prepare them, I think that's where you can start getting, you know, frustrated, overworked people that just you didn't get their buy-in in the first place.
I know that if you're listening to this or watching this, you know, first of all, it's probably not the first episode you ever listened to. So thanks for coming back. But I also say that if you're a serial podcast listener, that one of the things that plagues you that probably weighs on heavy on you is, man, I take in a lot of information and I don't really take action on a whole lot of it. Maybe 5%, maybe 10%. There's a couple reasons for that. Maybe you were just listening for fun. Maybe they didn't give you a guide. we did, right? We made you a guide. And so I just want to read through very quickly what you can expect from this guide. And then I want you to go get it. It'll be a PDF. You can print it off. You can make it your own, right? We don't own the guide. We're giving it to you, okay? All right. We want to bless you with this. So the first is your mindset and your approach, just a paragraph or two about how you should approach this, think about it, prepare your team for it. And then also preparation when it comes to your sleep and your diet, your team, your family, exercise, things like that, your schedule throughout the day. From a professional standpoint, we talked about these, but even more in depth, how to schedule them, the tools we suggest you use, the tech stack you can use, the weeks of during the meetings, during the strategy sessions, what you do. And just it is step by step. I'm not going to go through it all because it's a lot. Mm-hmm. So go through it. Not all of it will apply to you, but I bet 90% of it will. And if you're overwhelmed by this at all, if you're like, I just don't know where to start, great news. We made a map. Yeah. And it shows the start and the end. So just get the map and just do this first time, and it will work for you. We've had so many advisors that we work with in our coaching program, and they do it. And, you know, we want to do the hard work for you in creating a path. Just follow the path. And as Sten went through earlier, the hours it takes to actually do this, again, a four-day work week, 6 hours a day. Even if you met with all of your clients for an hour with 80 clients, you're really looking at like 4 weeks of work. Like it's pretty amazing. And then it's a question of what do you do with all that space? I hope you'll come hang out with us at our next event, but we just want to create space for you. Want you to have an elite practice. Sten, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah. I think do yourself a favor by setting your business up in a way to where you have downtime to dream, to live.
It's good.
That the measure of success, I believe, as a financial advisor is who can help the most people with the least amount of stress. And there's a way to do that where the baseline is I'm just going to work really hard, meet with people all the time. And I'll tell you now, because we hang out with thousands of advisors, you will end up somewhere where you don't want to be. And we have people coming to our events now that are 20-year vets, and they're like, I need something different. Like, right. I've been stuck. And if they can adopt Surge, if they can start charging for their ideas and their plans, this new revenue comes in. There's a version of your business that's waiting for you to take it that you will never regret, but you do have to step into it and try new stuff. So I hope you do that.
Thanks, Sten.
Thanks, bud. Sten here. Hope you're doing well. I want to ask you for a favor. My legacy team is growing, and I'm looking to fill a couple positions. I'm looking for an experienced advisor, somebody that can come in right away and start serving clients to help us handle the overflow of opportunities we have. But I'm also looking for up-and-coming advisors, a pair planner, junior advisor that wants to learn with me to come help level up our team, but also allow me to help them level up and scale their business quicker over time. If you are interested in this opportunity, or you know somebody that would be potentially a great fit, please email us at arome@investlegacy.com. We're happy to follow up with anybody, have a conversation with them. So if you can keep your eyes and ears open, I'd really appreciate it.